I will welcome everybody to the Robert John and the Wreck podcast. We are a five-piece rock and roll band from Orange County, California, that travels the world eating local foods, drinking local beers, and melting faces. I'm Steve.
I'm Warren.
I'm Robert.
I'm Andrew.
And it's the holidays.
It is the holidays.
We're officially in the holiday season. Silver bells.
We're past Thanksgiving. Christmas music is... Mariah Carey is playing everywhere.
Silver bell.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard Silver Bells yet, though.
All I want for Christmas, though, is you, Warren. So
I'm here.
That's my favorite Christmas song.
How was everyone's Thanksgiving?
It was really good.
It was different. So
it was different this year, yeah. For sure. Yeah,
way different.
Why was it different for you?
For me, it was different because this was the first. Well, it was the second Thanksgiving that I've had a nephew.
Hey yo.
And he's a beautiful little boy. And the family was kind of a little scattered this year. So this was my first Thanksgiving spending it in Southern California in my lifetime, or away from my family in my lifetime. And it was really cool. My brother came down and we just kind of spent the day together on Thursday and cooked here at the house and watched Toy Story 4, which was really good.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was great, man. Yeah, it was kind of weird though because the original Toy Story and 2 and 3, like, they still looked like fake. Like it was computer graphics, obviously, right? But this one was like all the backgrounds and stuff were really well done because technology has come such a far long way and stuff since the original one came out, and so it was a little weird because I was like, at times I was like, man, I haven't smoked anything, but like these toys look like fucking toys, like. The lighting is great. Like it doesn't look like computer generated all the time.
Yeah,
which is really neat. And then we hung out Friday. Went to the Sawdust, the kickoff for the Sawdust Winter Fest,
nice.
In Laguna Beach, and walked around and saw all the booths and all the great local art that's down there at the Sawdust, running for 5 weekends, four more weekends. In Laguna Beach, if you guys are around that area and want to go check it out, it was like $8 for a day pass, and walked around and got some really great coffee and some hot chocolate and apple fritters. And
any live music?
There was some live music, and I didn't know any of them,
which
was kind of weird.
Crazy.
I think it was because it was Thanksgiving weekend, and they probably have to pull out of the normal people that I know to do weekend stuff there,
yeah,
on holidays. I don't know. I don't live in Laguna. Bobby, you live in Laguna, and I've also never really been to the Sawdust except for when we were playing there. So it was really cool. Maybe they're like total regulars that have been doing it for, you know, since the 70s or 60s and stuff. But I didn't know. But they were great. It was awesome. Yeah. What about you, War?
Well, we traveled to Laughlin on Thanksgiving morning, and for those of you who aren't living in Southern California, we got a ton of rain on Thursday, the day of Thanksgiving, and like, I'm not talking about California and like, hey, it's drizzling. I'm talking about full-on like raining buckets.
Yeah, it was like monsoon season. And it was fucking crazy.
Me and Erica drove in her little Passat through hours and hours of pouring rain, and me being a Californian, I've been through rain a couple of times where it dumps and then it lets up and it dumps. It was 2.5 hours of straight rain that turned into snow at one point that was back into rain, and it made me really not want to travel on Thanksgiving. I was like, man, I would love to just be in my bed right now, but I'm charging through. And we ended up charging through. We had a great time in Laughlin, and then I came back and hung out in town. I went to a 30th birthday party and so on and so forth. And now I'm back here, ready to have a productive week with you guys, going over all of our shit. So, how about you guys? Anything?
Andrew, how was yours?
My Thanksgiving was the least crazy it's been. I'm used to doing the Thanksgivings where you do like 3 in a day.
Yeah,
where you're like, you're trying to go to as many families as you can, and I'm basically in a car in traffic all day. And that's how I remember sort of like It's like, go eat. The food's always good. It's always the thing, but I'm just, it's just a lot of crammed in. So this time, we only did two of them.
Wow.
I had one in the morning that was early morning that was in L.A. It was really nice. So we got to hang out with some family up there and meet some new people, and that was cool. And then we did one in Rancho Cucamonga, which is like on the other side of the universe. Well, theoretically, usually we have to do three, which is maybe one in L.A., maybe one in Rancho, and then maybe one in, like, Temecula. So those are each, like, at least an hour to 2 hours away from each other. And if you add holiday traffic, they're it added one more hour to those things.
Yeah.
So I just think of Thanksgiving as, it's not for me. I'm just here to see family and, like, hang out with people and be nice to people and stay in a car and not try to kill someone all day. And I did that very well. And nice. I actually, like... since I'd moved to Pasadena, coming home from LA, I got to like go home and just hang out for a couple hours and do nothing on Thanksgiving.
Cool.
And
nice.
That was really good. But I spent a lot of my weekend being sick. I told Steve this. We played at one of our friends' company parties at DJE on Saturday.
Saturday night. Yeah.
And last year I was there till like midnight or 1 a.m. like hanging out and drinking with them and partying. And this night it like hit 10 and it was like, I think we said 10 was the cutoff. Like, I think I could go a little longer, but I really just don't want to die. So I spent at least a couple days there just being in bed, and I hate that. It's the worst. I keep describing it to people as, you know, when we're on the flights to Europe, and all you could do for 10 hours is just sort of watch TV and go to the bathroom? Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, I didn't do anything except just watch TV. And it was like, well, what else am I going to watch? I don't know. Yeah. And,
but at least you're laying down and not, you know, cramped the leg room or something.
Big Bang Theory is there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Office.
I feel better, though. So that's good. What I'm really grateful for.
Nice.
Not family, just feeling better for No, obviously my family. Yeah. What about you, Robert? You went out of town, right?
I went out of town. I went to Florida. Saw the other side's family, and it was great, and we had a good time for the most part. I had a toothache and everything, but that's beside the point. That's not what we're here to talk about. And to get through that toothache, I was swishing my mouth with whiskey, and I brought this whiskey with me today. It's called Templeton Rye.
Ooh.
I know that Andrew likes rye whiskey. More than I have ever loved.
We have to talk about this a little bit.
Rye whiskey. So let's just put that right there.
I'm just going to say I love that
segue. I was trying to do a segue.
No, you did a great segue. Oh, my God. We almost landed a segue without saying the word do a segue, and we totally screwed it up for ourselves right now. I was like, oh, my God, we're going to do it. We're going to do a segue, and no one's going to say we just did a segue and ruin it for all of us.
I did.
But you just did. So it was good. Yeah. You got the closest, though, without ruining it. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, but we should talk about how Robert notoriously hates rye whiskeys.
I do not like rye whiskeys.
I notoriously love them, and whenever I order them at bars, Robert will look at me and like make a face.
I don't know why he ordered them.
What did you get? You know, and I'll be like, you know, so and so rye. I got a bullet rye. He'll be like, oh, rye, huh?
Great, but I don't. I don't like. So everyone out there in the universe or listening to the podcast. I, Robert, do not like rye whiskeys in any form. I do not like I do not like the rye
normally
version.
Yes.
I do not like rye.
Why?
I don't like rye bread.
Why do you not like rye?
And and going throughout my life with Andrew loves rye whiskey. He loves rye things. And so it's a.
I think I just like rye whiskey, by the way. I don't know that I've ever eaten
like
rye
bread.
Well, if you like rye whiskey, you probably like rye bread. We should probably get some rye bread in here next.
Yeah, let's
next
try
week.
Some rye bread. Screw it. Let's see how many rye things I like. Let's have the rye podcast.
I went to the store and I know Templeton Rye is a
rye till I die.
A landmark of a whiskey. If you are a bartender, you know Templeton Rye. It's a very established rye whiskey that's drank by multiple people other than me because I don't like rye whiskey. and I'm sure, Andrew, you've had this before, haven't you?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Andrew loves
it. Let's try it again, and we'll get into the profile.
Anyway, so this is where we're going to try today. Templeton Rye. I got a small bottle because I thought it was cute.
And if we get the big bottle, we'll probably finish it. So that's, yeah. You know.
It is cute. It is a cute
little bottle. It's cute as shit, man.
That's from Iowa, right? Isn't Templeton from Iowa?
It is. Wow. Good job, yeah. Steve. It's from Iowa. Also, it was a whiskey that Al Capone chose to be his whiskey.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
That'd be a little much. Capone.
It's amber in color as he pours it out the glass. I'm going to give the play-by-play.
It's really good.
Very translucent.
Nice little pour there. Very translucent.
So here's the bottle. If you know it, you know it.
Amber is the color of its energy.
Oh, stop.
Just for you, Bobby.
Stop. Stop. we'll have a whole episode about that. anyways, so cheers, everyone. If you're drinking at home.
Cheers.
We're drinking, too. This is we're drinking Templeton Rye.
Woo. My first whiskey.
Mmm.
It's good.
Yeah, that is really good.
I like the rye. It's not super rye aftertaste.
Yeah, there's yeah.
Like much more.
It's like there isn't that rye bite to it that like a lot of other rye whiskeys have.
But there is.
Or can you give me an ice cube, please?
Of course.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, you can touch it with your fingers. I don't care. All right. We slept in the same bed together. Good? I've seen you naked. Whatever.
A couple times.
I don't know that I have. I don't know that we need to go any further into that, but I'm just saying that out loud.
Well, how do you guys feel about it?
We'll do the naked podcast.
I like it.
This is really good.
Yeah.
Again, I love seeing Warren naked.
Yeah, I was like, what are we talking about?
I was talking about the whiskey now. It, like, especially for me being the least non-whiskey drinker, it doesn't give me that, like, burst of kind of, like, it comes out of, like, your nose almost. It seems like it's very, I know we use the word smooth a lot, but it's very, very mellow. And I felt like when I first smelled it, it almost smells like apples or something. But not, like, in a bad apple way, because I feel like apples can have a bad taste.
Like, it's not going to ruin the bunch?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Mr. Pun over here. Anyway. I really enjoy this. I actually, you know, I'm not sure why you don't like the rye.
Well, you might be into rye whiskey just like Andrew, because I hate it.
Maybe I am.
But you don't hate this one.
I think...
Oh, no, I don't enjoy this at all.
Really?
No, I don't like rye whiskey. This is... maybe we didn't provide this information.
I thought you were saying that you don't like rye whiskey, but you liked this one.
No, like this is
no. I got a rye whiskey, so I want everyone to taste rye whiskey. I know Andrew loves rye whiskey.
So you're just sitting here taking one for the team.
I'm taking one for the team because I know I don't like rye whiskey.
How do you feel about it, though?
Just describe
it. So hold on. Let's do this.
There you go. For all you not watching, Robert pulled his glass away to take
there is no smooth. Cheers, Warren's glass. There is no smooth aftertaste. There is no smelts of vanilla or honey or smelts? Cinnamon.
Yeah, the rye aftertaste is pretty aggressive in a rye whiskey.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm drinking gasoline.
But I feel like as far as rye whiskeys go, this one isn't as bitey.
He's describing the rye aftertaste, though. He's not describing...
I am... fully aware that I don't like rye whiskey. I only brought this in because I know Andrew loves rye whiskey. And so, I'm trying it because I want everyone to know that I'm open to things.
I guess what I'm saying is we're talking about what do you really not like? Because I would say the start is just like any other whiskey. It's a really smooth start.
Yeah.
But it's that rye finish that,
you
know, really gets, you know, that's what you're describing. And that's the taste. It kind of is alcohol-y, like you just, if you tasted it up front, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you tasted that burn up front or that like thing that like gets in your nose up front, but it's just a different flavor.
And it's a thing that is very...
distinct?
Distinct with people. Like you love it.
Yeah. Or
apparently Warren likes it.
What's funny is that what you're describing, I've had the exact same... feelings about some of the other whiskeys that we had taste that I feel much more of a burn, much more of that I guess you could say gasoline kind of come out your, you know, you can feel it move air through your body kind of. And this is like totally like mellow and this not is that.
We might have just introduced you to the next 10 years of your life.
There we go. I'll be a rye guy with Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right till we die.
Yeah.
And to everyone listening, to everyone watching, if you like rye whiskey and you know one that we should try, please tell us which one we should try.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one that I just happened to get.
Well, and this isn't a very expensive whiskey either.
No, I got this tiny little bottle, and I'll tell you a secret. I got this tiny little bottle for $20.
Nice.
Wow.
$20.
That's pretty good.
$20.
I'd say it's like a medium tier whiskey, right? It's not like Jim Beam or anything like that.
Not Evan Williams.
Are you saying that Jim Beam's like better?
I just hate Evan
Williams. No. I'm just saying it's not
I'm just kidding.
If you bought this at a bar, it'd be like $12 or something.
Yeah. Random side tangent, but
on the upper side.
But Evan Williams is a whiskey. And I went to school with a guy named Evan Williams when I was in college, and he had like a full poster on his wall in orange that was like Evan Williams. I'm like, yeah, I know you live here. Like, and you put it on the inside of your house. It's not like you're billboarding it outside on your fucking patio or some shit. Like, we know who we came over to see, you douche. Like, come on. Like, what the fuck? It was really funny.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a very common name.
Man. What an idiot.
Evan Williams.
He's probably not listening, but if he is listening, we all did dumb shit.
It sounds like something I would do if my name was like Evan Williams.
Would you though? Like if your first name was Jameson, like would you keep a bottle collection?
Bottle collection of Jameson.
But your name's not Jameson.
What if your name was Jose Cuervo?
That would just be weird.
What if your name was Dos Equis?
That'd be an awkward like. What if your name was M. Odello?
Yeah. Oh.
Mr. Odello.
Mr. Odello.
I drink you.
Wouldn't you do that? I would get a bunch of branded shit that was my like specific thing.
Fuck yeah.
I mean,
but you guys have to say what you, I mean.
Steve, let's go hang out with Evan Williams. What are we doing here? That guy knows how to party.
Yeah. We're going to hang him up.
If you guys love the whiskey was always shit, dude. You guys can hang out with Andrew and Warren, apparently.
Yep.
But don't invite me to that party.
Justin Abrams says Justin Wine is pretty good.
Hey, Justin Wine's great. The Justin Cab is fantastic.
Justin Abrams, bro.
I have a bottle of Justin in my house right now.
Justin just released
that's good shit.
Justin just released a new record and a book, man.
Ooh.
That Henry and I played a couple weeks back, which is really cool. It's called The Floating Piano by Justin Abrams and Beyond Conception.
Just in time for Christmas.
Bam. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, no.
Tonight's
the
full of
album's that. Really fun, man. And I got to do some background vocals on it, which was really cool. So if you guys are little extra tab there. Go check out Justin's new record. It's out on all platforms, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but super rad record. And he's got a book that's, I think, available on Amazon, too.
Amazon?
Maybe. That's my we'll get Tommy Techie on that shit. And
Techie Tommy?
Techie Tommy.
Well, first name Tommy, last name Techie. So
Tommy Techie.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Soups.
All right.
Whatever works.
So let's listen to some music.
Fuck yeah.
Let's do it.
I thought I'd take a departure from Henry's usually more music driven. I say music because I feel like music has two components. There's like the instrumental music side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like the songwriter song of things. And I feel like Henry likes a lot of that stuff too because he's really into Dylan. And Dylan like goes deep with songwriting if you know a lot of it. So I know he knows a lot of that kind of stuff. But this is like all different generational. I wouldn't survive if I just did stuff from the 70s. So I just picked something I liked. This is a song from the punk rock scene. And if you grew up anywhere in Orange County or in South LA, I know me and Warren probably grew up in the scene more than these other guys, but punk rock was like everywhere. And there's like maybe a handful of bands that were all from either California or close to California or something like that. And they, if they weren't from California, they'd all definitely play California. So this next song is more of a singer-songwriter kind of a song by a guy named Tony Sly. And you might have heard that name before because he's the lead singer of a band called No Use for a Name. Oh. And No Use for a Name was a band that like did not make it like all the other bands did. They were like right underneath.
Yeah.
Played with all the upcoming bands that became these bigger, crazier things. They probably could have hung on and done bigger, crazier things, but tragically, their lead singer died.
Oh, shit.
In 2012. Really? Yeah, wow. And No Use for a Name is where Chris Shiflett comes from the Foo Fighters. Yeah, yeah. So he played in this band originally.
He's a super nice guy, by the way.
And eventually had an audition for Foo Fighters when they were doing their thing. And this is all happened when the band was still going on. So they played with everyone in the punk rock scene. They did everything. And they eventually did a... Tony Sly did an acoustic record with a guy named Joey Cape, who's the singer of a band called Lagwagon.
Lagwagon.
And Tony Sly, like, these guys lived hard and fast. And he was a alcoholic, like, pretty bad. And this song is in, I think, 2004 is when this record came out. And he died in 2012 of, you know, an overdose. And
damn.
This song is basically, I don't want to call it a cry for help, but basically like a... an acceptance of how things are.
Damn.
And I think it's called Chemical Upgrade. And it's about, say, going to therapy and getting pills for feeling better about yourself.
Yeah.
And then, like, rejecting that because that's not what real life is. And so this song's called Chemical Upgrade by Tony Sly. There we go.
Complicated way to say I think about it every day. I'll call you when I get thrown from this wagon. You'll always have a seat for me, the lazy boy for suffering, the coach class of the fucking shit parade. Chemical upgrade. I'll be right here with you, with the serotonin truth. And I'm falling down as I get back up for another round. If I happen to show when you left me here with nothing to hold on to, a blind man cannot look you in the eye. But we can give you medicine to simulate that same feeling that happens when you're young until you you fucking tried. I'll be right here with you, with the serotonin truth. And I'm falling down as I get back up for another round. If I happen to show don't scream.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's holy shit. Not much of an upper.
Especially that last line.
I feel very down after that.
Yeah.
What a beautiful song, man. Like, I can't imagine how fucking hard it would be to write that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then sing that song from a people or into a microphone. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty freaking honest and pretty freaking crazy. So, I like stuff like that. That's just like, you know, undeniably honest in a way where, I don't know, sometimes you don't even know if you mean it in the moment, but I feel like a lot of songs are written that way. Love songs written that way when you get into like, whatever, I you know, I love you so much, jump on a grenade for you. What was that Bruno Mars song? Yeah. It's like all these
catch
things.
A grenade for you.
They don't, no one means that stuff. Yeah. You might,
but this guy,
maybe mean it in the moment. This guy really does mean this thing in the moment.
And so we live another day and try to make it fun. I need it like a bullet needs a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Intense.
And these are the guys living the rock star lifestyle, like really doing it in the ways
like
that...
not drinking 3 liters of water a day.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
Why not, man?
Well, you should.
Like maybe 3 liters of...
Maybe I would write better songs.
Speaking of which, I'm going to get a little bit more water.
I think
right
you...
now.
I approve that message since I want you to be around for a long time, Warren. I love you,
Anyways, I like doing songwriting stuff. I like doing music stuff too. It's also always good to do like intricate music stuff and get into like those cool arrangements and stuff like that. But
I think the lyrical stuff and like being able to be brutally honest in songwriting is super important, man. And,
or just like cleverly wrap up an emotion that everyone might have or something like that. I really like songwriting.
That's like the multiple things of songwriting, because you can cleverly wrap up an emotion in a song that no one ever even realizes.
But you can also just go straight forward and say exactly what you need to say, and then people will realize it. You know, there's a way for songwriting to go where you can go through different aspects of it. You can.
Oh yeah,
you know,
course.
You can go the extreme way. You can go the normal way. You can go in a way where people have no idea what you're saying.
And I mean Beck.
I mean, Beck does a very good example of not understanding what the hell you're listening to, and then you listen to it and you're like, oh man, I feel something.
I mean, in the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey, though.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I mean, like, you listen to that, and, like, you're like, what? I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. But then that one time that you're, like, at the post office, you feel like you're a chimpanzee.
Just another monkey in the
game. And you were just another monkey, you know? Like, I get it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the point sometimes, to just say, like, what is this song about?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but it's cool.
I feel like it's also being able to say that, because, like...
And sometimes that's with lyrics, and sometimes that's with music. Like, music, just the, like, non-lyrical music can also evoke, you know, so much just from, you know, if you're, depending on how your voice leading's going, or depending on, like, what the tempo is, or, like, how much dissonance or not is in there. Like, it can really make you feel shit. You know,
you can make it feel different.
To have both of it, and I think this song was like, it's so beautiful, man, and so tragic.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, it's really just got this kind of sing-songy thing going through it, and then he's saying shit like, the coach class of the fuck it shit parade, you know, like, come on, man, like,
it's a great
that's
line.
Beautiful.
Like, all these lines are like really great. I know, like, it probably passes you by just listening
to it
really quick, but
yeah.
There's a lot of, like, really, really, like, you know, sort of, like, it paints a picture in such few words of just, like, these, the worst, it's like a, was, if I happen to show how horrible I've grown, please don't scrape me off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you looking at the lyrics? So
I am.
Pulled up?
No. Yeah, I haven't pulled up. He's got this other line. The second line of the song is, I'll call you when I get thrown from this wagon.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, that's an entire story in, like, 8 words, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. You already know what's happening already.
Yeah, like, it's not my fault I'm doing this. I'm trying to make a change, but, like, you'll be the first person I call when, like, somebody fucking throws me off, like, this life that I'm trying to better.
Yeah, and that, like, you already know that you're going to fail.
Yeah,
that you've just sort of given up on yourself already. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's huge. Like,
sad, man.
Yeah.
And then to hear how it ended up with them, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's so tragic. But also a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my God, how beautiful.
You get a super honest representation of a human who, you know, did not want to try that hard anymore. Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's heavy. And especially for, like, a punk rocker, you think, like, you know, most punk rock music is all, you know, crazy and aggressive. And then you come out with, like, something kind of revealing. I don't know.
It's like, yeah, underneath that, this is not, like, No Use for a Name. Yeah. Like, No Use for a Name was super straight ahead punk rock, aggressive, angry music. Anyways, speaking of... Aggressive.
Totally crazy and aggressive.
That rhymes with digestive. And we are going to try.
This is Underberg. Oh.
We got one for Henry.
We got one for Henry.
This? Can you describe it? It's just like
digestive. So the bottle is a tiny, tiny little bottle. At the top of the label, it says, after a good meal, right? This is hard bitters. And it's hard bitters. Yeah, yeah. So the Underberg is a digestive, digestive, if you will.
Digestive. And,
So I grew up drinking this, not like in my formative years, but my formative years of drinking, with my dad's band. It is, I believe, a German.
Made in Germany.
Very German. And they've been in business since 1846 as a digestive. And it's basically like I remember having this at Oktoberfest in Munich with my dad and his band. And we'd be there all day. We'd be having Moss after Moss after Moss, which is the, like, Liedersteins full of Pilsner or Radler or whatever different types of beer that you have out there. Plus, like, a half chicken and then some, like, pretzels and a bunch of all this other shit. And then going out to the schnapps tents and stuff. It was like a whole day of drinking. And you drink so much and your stomach gets a little bit upset. You know, you don't want to get sick. And so it's like, after a good meal, like, have some Underberg and settle your stomach.
Underberg.
So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take the tip in your teeth, right? And then lean your head all the way back and let it go in your mouth and then drink it down. So I apologize for the couple seconds of silence while we do this, but here we go, guys. Cheers.
What is it?
Did I get it all?
Yep.
It's all over my mouth.
Oh.
It's
right?
It's like all over my mouth.
And this is just over half an ounce. So it's not even like full shot bottle.
It's everywhere.
Tiny little bottle.
Baby girl.
But
oh, man.
Oh,
I'm devastated.
Does anybody want to guess the alcohol percentage on this?
44.
On the label, but 44% is...
It's more than Jack Daniels, more than Jameson, more than Basil Hayden's, more than Templeton.
Wow.
But it settles your stomach. It gives you this little sense of clarity.
Does it settle your stomach?
I mean, it settles my stomach.
Shit.
Anyway, but I was really excited because... Andrew and I played the DJE company holiday party on Saturday night. And they had a box of Underberg next to all the drinks. And so I took a couple bottles because they got it at the San Francisco Oktoberfest.
Nice.
In San Francisco, which DJE has been providing sound for. And my dad And his band, the Internationals, and the Chico Bavarian Band are the band for that event and have been for the better part of 2 decades. And so it was just a nice little taste of home that I wanted to share with you guys.
Well,
and stuff. And Bobby, I'm sorry, Bobby's walking away from the table.
Bobby, you might get to see Bobby throw up tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, dude. Well, and that's kind of the beautiful thing about this. It either settles your stomach or your stomach is settled once it gets through with you. So
yeah.
Sorry, Bobby.
I mean, to describe what it tastes like is it's like a very strong herbal essence.
Yes.
With like licorice and very alcohol. Like that's a funny word to say it, but like mouthwatering, almost like a
mouthwash.
It doesn't
doesn't
really taste good.
No.
It's very, very herbal, but as a digestive, if you look at like the other digestives, like you have like Fernet, Bronco.
Are you saying digestive or is it digestive?
I think I'm just saying it fancy, right?
Oh, look at you.
Anyway. If, for all you listeners, my pinky's up right now.
Somebody on Instagram wrote, get ready to poop. is there any truth to that?
Probably. I mean, when you drink, you get dehydrated, which makes it harder to poop.
Well, back to drinking water.
So back to drinking water and pooping regularly.
Well, that was intense. What did you think of it, Andrew?
It's what you guys said, where it's just super licorice-y. All digestives I've had are pretty licorice-y and extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
And the taste does not leave your mouth. That's the problem with it. It's once you drink it, it's there for a while.
But the aftertaste to me is kind of like if you have like a eucalyptus like throat lozenge or something, where it just tastes like herbs, and it's like if it wasn't a shot and you just had it to like suck on or something, like Fishman's Friend or some shit.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe. Yeah. It is almost like a cough drop. It's a little warm. What do you have in normal life that's like super herby?
Besides like tea.
Yeah, or it's tea like, but it's not dark like tea. It's very like light.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy, welcome back.
It's tactical. Delicious. I like to think of it as a dirty Christmas tree.
You know, it's interesting because on the bottle it says, it is not a beverage, not to be sipped, but to be taken all at once and quickly because of its aromatic, strong taste.
Yeah.
I have a weird history with this, though.
So. Do you? What is that history?
Can you fill this in?
Are we going to talk about it right now?
Do tell, yes.
Okay, so my history with Underberg. So when I was 19, I lived in Long Beach, California. And we would go to a bar in Huntington Beach. And they would serve us alcohol at 19. And I'm not going to say that bar, and I'm not going to say who it was. But they also had Underberg. So we would go in there at 19, and we would drink dark German beer as much as we could. And at the end of the night, we would have Underberg.
Responsibly, of course.
Yeah, of course. And so I've taken Underberg multiple times and way too many times in my years.
Yeah.
Underage. Because that's what we felt we had to do. And it's a lot better when you're underage than when you're of age.
Overage.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Overage. I like that.
It's delicious.
Are you overage? Like, what age, bitch? Come on.
All right. Now, in the spirit of the winter season and hearing about all the snowing over the passes and having Robert actually be here.
Yeah.
I thought we should talk about an old story. This is like a pre-Steve story, I think.
Oh, is this a winter tour story?
Yes.
The last time Robert John and the Wreck has toured in the Robert John Band has toured in the winter?
In the White Eagle,
The White Eagle.
Oh, we're theoretically touring in winter. We might have picked the worst winter ever to tour, but we can't talk about it yet, but we are going on tour technically in the winter, the late winter.
Yes.
In the United States.
Yeah.
We are.
So we definitely have. What we can tell you that's already talked about is we will be playing the cruise that no one can go to because it's sold out. That's in Florida.
Yes.
What we can kind of talk about is we're doing a tour there and back.
We're
going to get there. That's all we could say.
We're going to get there and back and do things along the way.
If you look at the map from Southern California to Miami,
it's like a whole country of possibilities.
Might be in your area.
Yeah.
So let me start by talking about the gig in South Dakota the first time. So let's just talk about Robert's history with South Dakota, because we're going to find that out anyways. Robert's, your grandparents are from South Dakota?
Yeah, my grandparents are from South Dakota. My my grandma is straight from South Dakota. Their family we have a farm in South Dakota. That's where my grandma grew up. There was a house that was birthed 8-9 different kids in one house in South
Dakota.
It's
very much like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
It's like everything you read about.
It's pretty crazy. Wow. My whole family and dynamic comes from there.
And the Gables and stuff.
And I go out there once a year, and the band has been out there a couple times, too, to experience it and enjoy it. And
that's beautiful, man. Yeah.
I have a very strong connection to South Dakota than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. And we love South Dakota.
Yeah.
We've been multiple times. We've been when it's freezing outside, and we still love South Dakota.
And we've talked about Jeff Mann and Vision Bunny and stuff before on this podcast.
Yeah.
And
we have
history of that. And
we will go back to South Dakota every chance we get.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're trying to make it work currently. So we're constantly talking to our friend Jeff, trying to make it back out there. So let's talk about, I'll talk about what I remember from that, because I don't think I had ever at that point in my life been in snow that was not in Big Bear, California. Mm-hmm. So for anyone listening, Big Bear, California is about an hour or two away from anywhere in the greater Los Angeles or Orange County area. It's where you go if you want to go snowboarding or something like that.
And still make it back to the beach by sunset.
Yeah, it's not very far, and usually a lot of the time it's just man-made snow. But I'd never been outside of what that is, which is you just go up, you see the snow, and you go down, because we don't really have seasons. We have whatever, the wet season in California, but not really a snowy season.
Yeah, it's like a couple weeks.
Yeah. It was hailing this season, but...
oh, yeah. You guys got it crazy up there. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is probably one of the first times in my life I'd really seen, like, falling snow before, and falling in a way that was like... We had driven there, and there was, like, light falling snow, and I was freaked out the whole way. I was like, do you need chains? Do you need chains? Yeah, and I didn't understand the idea that, like, oh, unless the snow, like, really starts sticking to the ground, that's fine. And they salt all the highways so it doesn't do that. I didn't understand that at all. So I was like, I see snow. Like, do we need chains? Like, you know, so I would always freak out. And then when we got into South Dakota, in downtown South Dakota, that was the place we really probably did need chains. But the van we were touring with at the time was this very small, like, four-wheel drive van. And it did have four-wheel drive. But what I remember is we played this gig, and I remember going outside and it being snowing and me feeling really good about myself that I was just in one, like, flannel shirt outside, you know, while it was snowing. I felt so cool as a Californian, like, going, oh my god, I'm actually in the snow and I can handle the cold. I
it was just like Big so Bear. Cool.
Yeah, exactly, right? No. And I remember we were driving out of there, and I asked Robert, I was like, hey, what's it like if you take off the four-wheel drive?
Oh, no.
And I had never seen what happens in a car before where it's snowing. This was like, there was like an inch of snow on the ground, and we can get out of there, but like just barely, and we had to be really careful. And so he's like, let's find out. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And so he took off the four-wheel drive.
Took it off and just...
The whole back of the van just started, like, going in one direction.
Oh, fuck.
And we were like, oh.
Like completely to the point where, like, we're going to run into that wall.
Like, yeah. And this is with all the gear.
Yeah. And we're all in there.
And this is the White Eagle, too.
Which, yeah. This is the which, White Eagle.
Can you give us some backstory on the White Eagle?
The White Eagle is a minivan that my parents have. And back in the day, we drive cars that don't belong to us. So this is my parents' minivan that they labeled the White Eagle. It had their White Eagle,
like,
on the license
plate. Yeah.
And we took that on the road, and it was the first time that like Dodger, I can't.
Dodger Chrysler.
It's a Chrysler, Chrysler and I can't smoke in it, so that was wild. and we brought it out to like, you know, Sioux Falls in the middle of winter, and it did have four wheel drive.
No, but it did awesome.
I mean, it was wild because we did take the four wheel drive off in South Dakota because Andrew just wanted to see how that felt, which was weird. And you know, you swerve. I mean, like you put your foot on the gas, and you definitely don't go straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You turn into a little fish.
Well, and, it's like hydroplaning, but on frozen water.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so turn like, in. Yeah, yeah, your back's yeah. going a certain direction. But
it's not just like hold the wheel straight.
Yeah.
And like lay off the gas. It's like no, your back end's like meeting up with you.
Yeah, fishtail.
You're just gonna fishtail like around in a whole fucking circle.
Oh,
man. Like,
I know. No one can see Steve's hands, but it's the greatest representation.
It's literally like if you were looking at a clock that was going counterclockwise from, you know, normal like 12 and 6, like back up to 1. You know, or back up to 12.
And granted,
you
know Steve wasn't like, even there.
I wasn't even there for this shit, but
and that's how real this is.
I've definitely driven two-wheel drive shit in the snow before.
So can I ask
that with you guys?
Warren asked the question.
What is the difference between? I know, like the idea of that you have independent wheels, but what can be so different that you push a button and then all of a sudden your car that once was just driving perfectly down the street is now completely.
It wasn't driving perfectly.
But, like, do you guys know what it is?
Four-wheel drive is when all wheels are spinning independently.
Yes. Yeah.
Two-wheel drive.
So they compensate for each other.
Is when the front two wheels are only spinning.
Okay.
And so the back wheels are just basically dragging along or picking up traction but not being powered.
Okay.
Yeah, not actively moving. Yeah. And what that means is when the front wheels want to go somewhere, now the back wheels want to go somewhere too, and if they're not being told where to go, they go wherever they want.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's give you a little buffer. We are a really fresh band.
Oh yeah, this is like 21, like 22.
Yeah, this was 10 years.
Like
this
we
was
have no idea what the fuck we're doing, and we are in the midst of a winter storm with no idea what to do. I mean, we're just there. Like, we have no idea what's going on. We're just like, oh, what, we need chains? What are chains?
And this is one of the reasons why Robert John the Wreck, as a band, hasn't really toured in the winter months cross-country as well, right?
Well, A, because we're from California. B, it's extremely dangerous. And C, people don't usually go out in the winter anyways. So it's almost not worth it to tour during the winter.
So yeah, I guess what I'm saying is thank you for figuring that out for
early.
Us. Early on.
So good. We got home safe that night. That was fine. Like, it was just an experience to talk about.
Yeah,
this
great.
Is 1 inch of snow.
Oh, that was only 1 inch of snow?
Yeah, yeah, on the ground.
Oh, my God.
On the
shit.
Ground. This isn't anything crazy. This is like just what. So what I had seen is.
Like every listener from countries where it snows are like, you guys are pussies.
No. We're going to get into the real story.
I don't care. We have more stories to come with snow. Yeah.
No, I'm excited. So I'm excited. I'm listening here, too.
The idea was that what I thought was bad snow was snow. In general, if it's snowing, it's bad. Yeah. And then sort of what I learned at that point was if you could see the snow on the ground and it sticks and it's in some kind of layer like that you could see everywhere, then it's bad. That's what bad is. Okay. Now, I can't remember exactly where we were coming home from, but I remember that we were in New Mexico. Oh, I think we had played that bowling alley show. That's a whole nother thing for a whole nother night.
Very true.
I would play that bowling alley in a second. They fed us really well.
That was one of the first times. I mean, we can still talk about it forever, but that was one of the first times they gave all of us steaks. And I don't eat steak like Andrew eats steaks.
I love steak.
We got steak, and I'm like, well, I want it medium well. And Andrew's like, what the fuck?
To be fair.
I want it medium.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first time that me and Andrew, like, had, like, that thing of, like, why'd you order it medium well? And then I say, why'd you order it medium?
And Andrew's just like, why am I on the road with a sociopath that doesn't
order it? Yeah, but that was also 10 years ago. Like, so right, that's why those things happened. No, exactly.
I think all of our tastes have changed dramatically in 10 years.
I think we sold like 3 CDs that night, so we were all fucking cool.
No. But we had finished that gig, and we were going home the next day from New Mexico to L.A.
Yeah.
I think we were doing the full drive. We're either going... We had to be doing the full drive.
We wouldn't have been playing in Arizona.
I can't remember. It's a long, long time ago. But what I do remember is that when we drove during the day through New Mexico, it started to snow again. And it was like, oh, cool. Like, not sticking to the highway, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it started to just get, like, bigger... Like,
gnarly
snowflakes.
It started getting gnarly.
Hold on. We will get to gnarly.
Sorry.
The snowflakes just started to get bigger, right? Like, it turned more into like where you can hear them hit the car. Like, usually it's just this nice dust that just dusts.
Yeah, it's just
and
like,
it's just like. It's like a declawed cat playing with your face.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
This is a.
Just like ocean.
This started
ocean
to turn
spray.
Into hail where they start to be like. Plops.
Yeah.
I think plop is the correct
word
for
it. Tuck.
And then it turned into like, the way I always used to describe it was cartoon sized snowballs that you see on like when cartoons, when Charlie Brown, when it snows, and you see these giant, like, that's what it looked like in real life. So, like, we had these giant pieces of snow coming down that were like thick balls of snow coming down. And now on the freeway going home, covered in snow. And I was like, this can't be good. So everyone sort of slows down. And we all like, as there's 4 people in the car. At this point, the band was Robert, me, and then Derek, and then JD. All people who played on the Fire Started record. And
in a van with 4-wheel drive.
Yeah, and
none of us. This is key.
None of us had ever been in the snow before, really. So we didn't know what to make of this thing. Like, we were like, I think we're going to die. Or if we don't die, we're at least going to be stuck here in this blizzard for a while. And it got, like, bad. Like, it was, like, hitting the side of the car and, like shaking everything and stuff like that.
Like a twister moment. But
yeah. It was insane. It was, like... We were freaking out, and there was other cars on the highway.
That's terrifying.
They weren't like sliding or anything like that, and no one was like doing anything crazy. Everyone sort of slowed down and did what they were supposed to do, and we were just going ahead like, I don't know, 10, 20 miles an hour, just going like, I guess this is how we die. And I think we've had like at least, I don't know.
Just accepted your fate, and you're just like, fuck it, I guess we die in South Dakota.
We went for quite a while
of
that
New
like
Mexico.
Dying mentality.
Yeah, and it... There was probably like an hour of us in this crazy snowstorm driving through, and eventually it like starts to lift, and we're like looking in each direction going, is it safe? Like, are we going to be okay? Yeah.
Well, and at what point do you just pull over? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we
like,
didn't know.
You don't, because we're like 22, 23, and like 24.
You're
like
people
you don't
deal
think
with
about
this on
pulling
the regular,
over. You just say like, we need to get there, so we're gonna go.
Yeah.
Well, also,
so you don't realize like when the point of pulling over makes sense. At that point, you just keep going.
Yeah.
We didn't know, and
that's
to
like
be honest,
me driving solo through fog and shit. I'm like, well, I guess if something's in front of me, this is where I die. But
yeah, and it's really that thing of like
led a good life. I'm excited about everything I've done so far. I have people that love me, that'll miss me. Maybe left a legacy.
Yeah, you kind of just have to accept your fate at some point.
Yeah. It's like anytime getting on a roller coaster or,
which is fine for
an airplane or some shit. Like, whatever.
But really, like, driving through it, you don't think, like, oh, I'm just going to pull over because you're right in the middle of it. It's like, what's the point of me pulling over right in the middle of it? Some truck's going to come down and, like, blow us all up, you know? You're more scared of stopping than you are continuing, so...
And especially when it
wasn't nighttime either, so we were still like.
At that point, it wasn't nighttime. It was still like during the day, so like we still had time to get to the point of.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, but it was definitely like one of the scariest moments of driving. Probably the worst weather of driving.
Yeah.
Barring that wind.
Do you think that that was worse than the middle of Nebraska when we came back from Minden?
I don't remember that.
Well, so, that's because you were so high.
Oh, was that? was that the thunderstorm night?
Warren, stop.
Got a cough to get off, bro.
Yeah, that was the Minden night, which was. Yeah.
I wasn't was even there so for that high. Either, man.
Everyone was so high.
Because
that would be another story.
That has to be another story.
I was on the cruise to Alaska back then. I missed that show. I met up with the guys in.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Carney.
What we went through, Steve.
what you guys went through to make sure that I have a future in this band.
Anyways,
we'll talk about it next time.
This is the snowstorm in New Mexico, famous New Mexican snowstorm.
Yeah. And so, one more thing, just because this is the only place that I can say it. In New Mexico, is that the 40 that's on the top? Is it the 40?
I think so.
I think it's the 40. They have the highway that actually does melt the snow when it hits. They have a heated highway for portion of the 40 in New Mexico.
Well, that's smart. Wow.
And if that's not true, then someone can fucking sue me. But they have a portion of the 40 on the top of New Mexico that has a heated portion of it, which it makes it very easy to
all lawsuit emails to DonaldTrump@thewhitehouse.org.
Please.
It is the 40.
.org.
It is the 40. Okay. .org.
It is.
It is .org for the White House, right?
It is the 40.
All right. Here's Warren, do you have something to say?
All right. Well, moving on, my pick of the week is another, I guess you consider it a manscaping product, but it is...
Another one?
Another one.
Did we have one already? What did you recommend?
Well, Gold Bond. No. Gold Bond?
Well,
Gold Bond's kind of manscaping.
Cool. Yeah, I consider just like...
It's for the manscaping,
manscape. Like... Anything that you take care of yourself.
Spending your balls, dude.
Manscaped. Anyway. It's like Minecraft or Starscape.
It's like taking care of your body. It just doesn't have to only be your balls. It's could Minecraft. Be like anything. That's kind of what I use it as. Like, I guess
mind,
it
body, and user. Balls.
Yes, yeah. Mind, body, and balls. Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch.
All right. Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch.
Anyway, so I picked this thing. It is a little handheld shaver by a company called Wall. They make this thing called the Peanut, and this one happens to be cordless. It is an electric shaver.
It's for your grapes.
That you can take on the road. Well, the funny thing is, the last time we went on the road, I was like, I'm not going to need that thing. What a stupid waste of space in my bag. And I didn't take it. And I don't really grow a beard as well as you guys. Like, it grows
it's
out.
It's like 6 cylindrical inches.
Mine just like kind of turns into like weird like hair underneath my neck. And yeah, I'm sure if it grew
beard.
Out, I'd probably look like
I think
an Amish person.
That's what a beard is.
Yeah.
That's so why I didn't bring it, and my stupid beard grew out, and I should have brought it, and I regret it, and my girlfriend told me to, and I didn't. So now I know this next tour that we're doing in Europe is going to be a long one, and I know I'm definitely going to need this thing. So anybody, there's a lot of those hairy people out there, you know, like people who shave, and then 3 days later they have like a giant beard again. Like, this is a perfect thing for those fucking guys. And not only that, when I brought it over, Steve jumped for joy because he happens to have a very similar product.
Yes.
It's a lot bigger
than
yours.
Which this is, this is about...
It's not about the size, it's about how you use it, dog.
Well, it's also about where it's meant for, I think. If that is a nether regions shaver, this is for the ether regions shaver. And this one has a slightly different timbre.
It is lower pitch.
Oh, it is lower pitch. Can we AB here?
Henry, what tones are those? You have to tell us when we get back.
Henry, leave a comment in the comment section. Anyway, so I got the Wall. This was a whole hair cutting kit, which I've actually saved in the last like 8 months. I've saved about like $300 on Supercuts haircuts because
how much do you spend on haircuts? $900 a haircut?
Like, no, it's like $30 every time I go. It's like $30 every time I go, and I go once a month.
You go once a month?
I go once a month because man, I'm trying to
our lives.
I'm trying to keep my hair short, man. Like Henry's got the fro. I'm not trying to grow my hair out again. And I like to, and like, it just gets bushy and shit.
Once a month, that's impressive.
Once a month, man. Like, this shit grows back real quick. Yeah, well, yeah. I've been fucking maintaining, I've been manscaping my head region.
Yeah.
Like, the upper one that holds my brain. You know what I mean? So, for the last 9 months, I bought this thing, and it's a water resistant, not waterproof.
Is this Warren's? Is this Warren's thing, or is this your thing?
I think this is
ours.
This is ours. Stage left, bro.
Okay.
Stage left. There you go.
Whatever.
So I got this thing, and it came with a bunch of different guards and shit on it too, which is really cool because it has like a right ear and a left ear guard as well. That
you guys like, are so weird.
When it was warm out. I need to get one of these. You need to get me one of these.
When it's warm I'll get you out, that one makes a difference?
Well, when it's warm out, I'll go out in my driveway and just shave my head in my driveway and have
tell
a cigarette.
Tell us more.
And so I'll go out in my shorts with a cigarette and buzz my head with the number 4 guard and shit and, like, do it, like, in the reflection of myself from my tinted windows on my Prius, which is really great because it's, like, almost black mirroring it. Like, it's awesome. And then I let the Santa Ana winds fucking pull that shit together. I throw some of the hair in the potted plants because the nitrates
the ocean,
are good.
Man. Come on.
The nitrates are good for the soil, and then I fucking and then I collect the rest
give
and throw them in
the
trash.
Environment.
And stuff. So it's been great to like be able to do this from home and save money.
So Warren, how has this wall affected you?
I will say this every time. If people aren't listening to the last 10 minutes of the podcast, they're missing out because it's where all the gold is. I would skip pretty much the first entire part of the podcast to get to this goal.
I just hit my eye and my mic.
Oh, man.
Warren, how do you feel about this?
I'm just
going to
call this wait for.
Warren, how do you feel about this trimmer?
It's great. Yeah. That's why I suggest it.
Uh huh.
And, you know, as always, we'll post a link to where you can get it. I got it on Amazon.
Great.
Comes in two days.
And what's.
Then, if Steve touches it, does that mean it's different?
No.
No. Steve can touch whatever
you do
wants.
Need to clean this thing, though, bro.
Oh.
Like, it's a little dirty in the
Was it dirty when you put it in your mouth?
That's okay. Mine's a little dirty, but it's not from
how do you clean it?
Anyways.
Mine came with a little brush.
A little brush?
Yeah, a little brush and some oil.
I mean, mine came with a little brush, but I'm not talking about it.
Well, so, but there's, what's this little thing on the bottom? There's like a little, like, screw cap.
Let's not discuss that.
Well, this one, the one that I have here has a rechargeable battery.
You probably put THC in there.
Cool. Even better for traveling. Very
see,
small.
See, mine doesn't have a cap on it. It's just got, like, a room for, like, the plug to go into.
So well, we don't need to talk about plugs anymore.
All right, let's call it.
Right. Yeah. Well, what do we have coming up,
don't
guys?
Don't be hairy, guys.
Before we call it.
We just released our hoodies and phone cases.
Yeah.
I think that's just one thing to talk
hell
about.
Yeah.
I think they're super cool. And what we can't kind of say right up front is what we try to do is make sure that the shipping to Europe for these particular units was cheaper. Because
we're trying to get it. It's tough for us because we're based out of Southern California. And shipping cost what it cost, and we can't do anything about that. So we're actively trying to, especially for our European fans, figure out different ways to make it cheaper in shipping or less expensive in shipping to get the same quality product out there to you guys so that you don't have to pay extra for the things that you love.
Because you're just as important
exactly.
as the people here
and
in America.
And Anna and I have spent countless hours now trying to figure this out. And
yeah, we're just trying new things. But this one in particular is, we don't need to go into detail, but what it means for you guys is that if you order one of those hoodies or one of these new shirts that we have on our sites here, that the shipping is just as much as it would be from us shipping it from California.
Yeah.
So
Hey, yo.
Cool. I'm really excited about that, and that mm-hmm. means a lot to me because I really want to try to fix that yeah. problem because it's we can't do much about it from California.
And for any of nope. you viewers, you can see Andrew's sweatshirt. I think he's wearing it.
The, yeah, I'm the wearing last one.
This
of
is
the
like
ones
one
right
of
now.
Your new favorite yeah, sweatshirts, man, which one, is awesome.
This is the bottle cap logo.
And you can't see it right now because my phone's the phone that's streaming Instagram right now. But I got one of the phone cases, and I fucking love it, man. Like,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Cool.
Like, it fit really well.
Why you show it off?
It's been, well, because it's streaming phone. Instagram right now.
Oh, I see. I'm
but right. if you head to our website, www.robertjohnthebreck.com, you can view all of that stuff, which we've really... newly redesigned the website and everything, so there's some new products up on there.
Valmanosa
and yeah, and we've got the Marine Room coming up on the 13th. The Cliff Restaurant
Cliff on the 14th.
On the 14th, and then we've got the Wayfair
on
the 28th.
The 28th of December, almost to the
after
end of the year,
Christmas,
but not
before
yet.
New Year's, right in that sweet
and
spot
we're
where
playing
all
with
y'all can come and shake your groove thing at us.
Jeremiah Red.
Yeah, brother band.
The one and only Jeremiah Red, who doesn't play but does play.
We got them for a
They're like a ghost.
We hooked it up just for you, so
we just want to have a fun Orange County night.
Our new friends Balto,
yep,
Balto,
who will be fantastic.
Not the dog.
Until next time,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving week and weekend, and are getting into your holidays great, and be good to each other and get wrecked and go to our online store and buy some shit. It's getting cold out there. We got sweatshirts.
We'll see you guys.
Hit it up. Later. Bye.
Cheers to you.
Cue track.